Jimmy the Political Poet, Jimmy and Sarzuela, and in today's episode, I'll be bringing out my favorite social justice storyteller and a media strategist to explore how what we believe, either individually or collectively, and how it influences our social norms, culture, and policies, as well as ask this burning question that I have. Do we control the algorithm, or does the algorithm control us? Kayla Catalyst is a social justice storyteller and business strategist from Queens, New York, whose home base is currently in Tacoma, Washington. Kayla jumped off the corporate ladder to pave her own way towards success, freelancing her business services and founding her blog, Wise, Well, and Woke, where she publishes content that gives soulful lifestyle advice, helping her audience and consultants find comfort and solutions to their problems in this crazy modern day society. So without further ado, here is I Am the Algorithm featuring Kayla Catalyst. With COVID putting a damper on connecting and networking, I had to find a new way to business card. That's why I went with Link. My Link card allows me to share my podcast, social media, website, or whatever else about me while still keeping it safe and social distancing. The card's NFC capability allows me to share all of that in just a tap of the phone. And the QR code on the back lands people to a custom page that I've modified for Black Lives Matter or COVID updates. In fact, you can listen to this very episode up on there now. So say goodbye to handing out your old business cards and say hello to Link. And because you're a part of the Speak Free fam, enjoy a 15% off discount by using Poetry Pros at checkout. That's visiting linkapp.com and typing in Poetry Pros. That's linkapp.com and typing in PoetryProse when you get like me and grab yourself a new way to business card. How are you? You've been traveling.
Yes, I have actually a little too much travel. Just came back from, well, not just, but came back from that cruise, which was interesting. Went to Haiti, DR, and I feel like one other place. But I feel like you can't really say that about, like, I've been there. Like, you stop on a cruise for a day, like, it's not compared to, like, being in Spain for 3 months or coming up. Actually, I'm booked for, I'll be in France for a week. And then going back to Leon, Spain, and then from there, South India, and then September, I'm going to be in Costa Rica facilitating like a brown girl yoga retreat.
You cannot say that that's too much traveling. That's just the right amount. That's the right amount. Low key, just a little bit envious. I was supposed to be going to Florida, Utah, and DR this year. And babies. So we shall see which one of those things we can definitely do. But I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, so just to redefine this podcast and define like what we're doing today with the affirmation series, I've been examining how thoughts become reality. More specifically with you, I wanted to see how what we believe either individually or collectively influences our social norms, cultures, and policies, especially the ones that we have been seeing out here today that we've been dealing with in modern time. So I'm really excited because you're definitely that girl. You just explained how much of that girl you are, and
but on the low though, right?
But you have to keep it private.
Absolutely.
You don't post until you come back, right?
Oh, I think I've told you this before, where I kind of like operate my life as if I'm some high profile drug dealer, because you will not catch me, like I won't put stickers on my car, anything like that. So very much even locally, like if I went and got coffee somewhere and I took a cute picture, like I'm not going to post it till I get home. I'm not posting pictures of my vacation until I'm home. So you really never know where I am.
And your job more specifically is like, I think of you as, yeah, that it girl, but also like this anti-racist social media marketer. You call yourself a social justice storyteller. And I have like this burning question that I hope that we can get to, which is, does the algorithm control us, or do we control the algorithm? Because I don't really know anymore, the way that these things have been going with social norms and social policy. But I've been talking a lot. Kayla, can you please introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Yes. So my name is Kayla Catalyst. I moved to the Seattle-Tacoma area about 3 years ago. Actually four, coming up on almost 4 years to the date, which is, it's so interesting to think about, because being born and raised in Queens and then moving to the Pacific Northwest, being on the completely other side of the country, was a culture shock. And even with traveling to different different countries, you don't realize culture shock is happening in the moment. And like, even having experience with it in the States and then going to other countries, like it's something that you never can tell while it's happening. But in New York, I come from a single parent household. It was five of us in a basement growing up, really. And we really struggled to make ends meet. My family was always living paycheck to paycheck. A lot of people that I knew and grew up with is the same way. And I was tired of that. I was tired of putting countless hours at it. And all of a sudden, you know, you're getting put more and more work on you. And you go from being an assistant to running the company while the boss just goes on vacation, but you're not being compensated for it. Mm-hmm. So I was just tired of struggling, really. And I had the opportunity to move to Washington. I took it, and the opportunities continue to come from there. I've made the opportunities for myself. And when it comes to business, and being like working office managerial stuff, like that just got tired as well, like being taken advantage of by the system. I didn't want that for me. Or, you know, that corporate is always there if I wanted to go back for it, but I wanted to use my skills to help small businesses and everything that I really learned there. So that's a little bit about me. And then I started my blog, Wise, Well, and Woke, where I share my experience. And like you said, call myself a social justice storyteller, because I just like to capture my own lived experience and try and be a voice for the most vulnerable. But part of that is being vulnerable myself and sharing my story in hopes that it helps others.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that is one of the reasons why I got on doing podcasting and just in general wanting to do storytelling and in a different way, because I did want to show other people that, yeah, similarly to you, where we come from, we can get out of. We don't have to be in the rat race anymore. And it's so trendy now about the soft girl era, the traveling, but just seeing that it is definitely obtainable, and it's a trend these days, but I don't want that to be a trend, right? I don't want that to be a trend in my life. And yeah, moving to Washington was a culture shock. Going to DR is a culture shock, because when you're in a developing country, in a third world, quote unquote, country, you definitely see the different. One of the things that I think of in traveling, I realized that my American passport and me being a Black woman means two things at once, which is that I could be at the top of a food chain in the rest of the world, but I can still be at the bottom of the totem pole in my own country. And that is a wild thing to wrap your head around. But you're also a person that practices yoga, that you stated. And I was curious about your philosophy. How does your philosophy involve affirmations, law of attraction, and even your own work with having to work with algorithms, how do you think that you implement those things that you learned with yoga or whatever your philosophy may be in the real world?
Yeah, so I follow what's called a bhakti yoga practice, which is devotional love and service. So it's not only just like when people think of yoga, like the physical practice of yoga asana, it's every day. So how do I implement that philosophy of yoga, which is being one with the universe, with spirit? So I try and have that mindfulness every day on what I do, so that sort of my whole day is a meditation or a practice or a prayer, instead of just small moments. So when it comes to the law of attraction and affirmation, I'm constantly in that frame of mind of manifesting things for myself. So it's as I described, like, instead of, say, like when I journal, a journal is one way that I do it, because when I sit down, I'm imagining my future self and all these positive affirmations that I'm feeding down or writing down. Like, for example, last year I wanted to have more free time. I wanted to start my own business. So I've been freelancing for a year now that I left corporate, and these are things that I just wrote down, and I planted that seed. And I forgot that I had even wrote that down as a goal. Now, when I go back, I have a self-development book where I'm more intentional with my journaling. And in there, everything that I've written down so far has come to fruition. So just really making it a daily practice of being mindful and like having your word and deed match. So it's like, you can't just, and that's what I can't stand too about all this stuff being trendy now, because it's like, oh, I do mantras, I say meditations, all that. And it's like, okay, you can say that, oh, money comes to me, but if you're not getting up out of bed in the morning and like doing the actions to get you that thing, it's never going to come. The same thing with religion, and you know, people pray to God, and sometimes they're not as hopeful when it comes to spirituality or religion. They have leaves a bad taste in some people's mouths, because they feel like, oh, well, why would God do this? I asked God for this and God didn't come through. I'm like, okay, but did you come through so I don't know, it's a little frustrating, because like you said, like all this stuff is sort of like trendy now, but there is spiritual text and a deep root to it, and that root really starts with yourself, as does the algorithm.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that frustration with it being trendy. And then also too, it reminds me of, there's this scene in Eat, Pray, Love where she was either in Spain or Italy, and she was talking about a proverb. I believe it's a Spanish like proverb of a poor man who says every single day he goes to a particular saint and says to the saint, oh, please let me, win the lottery. And so every single day he goes to the saint and he's religious about it and saying, oh, please let me go to the lottery. And then one day the marble statue looks down at him after he asks for the 1,000th time on the 1,000th day and says, my son, please play the lottery. Like, you keep praying for this same thing and you're not going up and getting it. And I remember in my last episode that I did, or the very first episode that I did actually, I talked with my reverend, and she talked about how Ernest Holm quoted that actions, words, and deeds need to be attached to your feelings. So you can say all you want to, in a, we're talking about affirmations, like, is it this transcendental spiritual thing, or is it really something that you believe so much that yourself, that you really go out and get it, that you have to feel what it is that you're saying. You have to really be intentional. Like Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, once said, watch your thought. That's my husband is upset with our dog. Like Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, once said, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, because surely it will become your destiny. And I think once we were talking about how, when I first met you, you said something about how the law of attraction is actually like, is physics. It's like math. Do you mind speaking to that?
Yeah. So when we talk about things, I think there's so many perspectives, especially when it comes to affirmations and the whole conversation that we're having, because there's so many parts. There's science. Some people believe in science or the universe. Some people believe in God and religion. Other people believe in spirituality or culmination of all three, or bits and pieces of each. But really, they, to me, in my perception, they all go hand in hand. So there is the law of attraction is based on quantum physics and how people believe that if they change their reality, so like their electromagnetic field, that you can develop a new reality for yourself. And this really comes from, in physics, the observer effects. The observer effect proves that particles come into existence when we place our energy on observing them. So you could see how the law of attraction came from that, because if we set our minds to something, or you know, whether it's our words or our action, with that we can manifest something. Whatever we're thinking about, it can become our reality.
That's really interesting. Every single time, because I've had this conversation with someone else, and every single time I hear that explained, I just really can't wrap my mind around how. Because I feel like a lot of things can be true in that regard. How some people, they need the scientific reason. How with other people, it's just trusting and then moving forward in the path, and then understanding or believing that, you know, the path that's being paved for you, especially if you're saying that it's meant for you, that then in that sense, nothing that's happening is against you. It's all for you. And then here, well, that being with the spiritual ideology, but then hearing the, I talked with a psychologist and asked him about what does an affirmation look like in the mind, him explaining the mirroring effect in the brain, and just hearing the different perspectives of, I guess, all of it being able to come together and still be true to, if you say that this is what you want, or it, and you act on those things, then surely you'll get it. But defining an algorithm, because you work with social media, right? A algorithm is supposed to be a calculation to either solve a problem or operation, especially by computers, right? But in simple terms, an algorithm is a set of instructions for solving problems or accomplishing a task for that computer. For example, an algorithm is supposed to predict how someone is going to behave, or understand how someone is behaving, why that person is behaving that way. For example, with me, when I was pregnant, surely the algorithm knew, because I started looking up baby registry things and baby needs, and then my algorithm completely changed from showing me whatever it was that I was watching pre-mom brain to what it was that I probably wanted to see. And we would normally think that this is helpful, but then yes, that means that I am controlling that algorithm, because I'm saying, hey, I want to see more of this. But then you can get put in a cycle or a loop, and now I am a person who, I'm already a person that is dealing with anxiety, and I have feelings of anxiety often, and I'm getting other things that show me, oh, don't take Tylenol, because, or if you're a mom that took Tylenol and your baby has autism, then you can file a lawsuit against this and that, and so many different other things that it leads me down a rabbit hole that I didn't really want to be, and I feel stuck. And that wasn't something that I asked for. Best scenario I think that I can say is that I feel like my reverend once told me that I think is true. I feel like if you Google not porn, porn is surely still going to come up for you. And you have to be intentional about what it is that you're putting out into the universe, or what you're putting out onto your cell phone and your search history, however it is that you want to see it. But with social media, do you mind talking to, like, us living in this digital renaissance era, how you navigate with your audience, with the people that you work with? How do you control the algorithm to help you and help them?
Yeah, so on a personal level, when it comes to controlling the algorithm, because I do think you can, but like, it's either one or two ways. Either the algorithm controls you, or you control the algorithm. So I've experienced that before, where yes, you do have control over the algorithm, but you can end up down a black hole. And at what point is it really even your thought anymore? You're being fed all these messages. It's way too much information for us to process. So we're still consuming it. So it's being compartmentalized, and it's still in our subconscious somewhere. So I was, I followed all of these like cute, like baby pages, or like, you know, like those melanin babies or whatever. I followed all these pages. So it's like, at a certain point, my feed was nothing but babies. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I had crazy baby fever at the time. And as a woman, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, like my body's meant to give life. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like, it's my call to motherhood. And after a while I realized, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I have a lot of like babies on my feed. Like, let me just try like putting the phone down. And I intentionally, and this happened only in a matter of like a day, where I stopped even looking at the post for a second. Or sometimes you watch like on the Instagram feed, the squares, you'll see something out of the corner of your eye. But because you sat on that square for 60 seconds, that's still being accounted for. So don't even, you know, look at what it is, scroll past it. There's even options to right click on whatever platform and say, I want to see less of this, I want to see more of this. So you can curate your feed to match what it is that you want to do. So if you want to raise your vibrations, put high energy stuff, things that resonate with you morally, things that are going to get you to where that you want to be. So that also goes with my clients as well, and with in my work, Why As Well Awoke, is I'm just trying to be authentic, because there's so much copy and paste content out there. And yeah, I'm guilty of using some of the little TikTok sounds and stuff like that too. But at the end of the day, I think that sort of integrity needs to remain. And when it comes to the algorithm, you can change it at any time, but you need to have a strong mind, because it comes to a certain point where we need to stop scrolling, and it's hard to do. You know, there's been times where I've been on my phone so much, and I realized that there's that sort of dependency, because it is addictive. It's producing a lot of dopamine by all these likes and stuff. So having a strong mind and that stillness with my yoga practice is really what grounds me, because actually one of the affirmations that I use, or the mantras that I have, is a very popular one called Not the Body, Not the Mind. So having to just remind myself that like all of this external stuff is not the main goal. Of course, like we're, you know, food needs to be put on the table. I want to live a comfortable life. Like that, I'm not saying that, but at the same time, you know, your happiness, because it can cause anxiety and all these things, like what's going on in the inside really needs to be, you just need to know yourself so that you can put the phone down, so that you can have the strength to make these decisions.
The cringiest moments that I feel like I have, that I had back in during the pandemic, was when I would close out all of my apps, swipe all of my apps closed, because I was tired of being on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube just to open one of them up again. Like, I just would feel so annoyed with myself, and no one else saw that moment, but I was embarrassed simply because I did it. Like, and so I think that is really interesting because, yeah, you have, at the end of 2022, you talked about going on an algorithm cleanse. Can you speak more to what that looked like for you, as far as either unfollowing or being conscious of who you followed or what it was that you were looking at?
Yeah, so to control the algorithm, because, and I say that very loosely, like within your power, what you can do to control what you're seeing on your feed, because there's so much that goes into behind it between the developers, and also there's this growing narrative that, like, the algorithm doesn't exist, and really it's just a reflection of our minds, and it can't really be controlled in that sense. So that's a growing narrative. But when I say control the algorithm, I'm using that term loosely to say, you know, what is actually in our power. So that's what I did, was I was like, okay, I've done it before, and it was most effective the first time I'd done it, because I'd never thought about who I was following before. So I see some of these accounts with media being over sexualized. Like, I don't want to look at, you know, some girls jumping up and down with barely any clothing on. Like, I don't want to consume that, like, overly sexual content. It wasn't serving me. So I went through and I unfollowed all of those accounts. And I mean, I justified it before of like, oh, well, I have friends and family because they share funny memes during the day. But then at night, it's just like a completely different world. It's crazy that they get through these loopholes. But yeah, so I went on my account, and I do this every so often, where I unfollow people and things that do not serve either my mind or my goals, because we're constantly changing. But are we constantly going and looking at who we're following and the messages that were being sent? Because you might have followed somebody, you know, back in the day because for whatever reason, but does that resonate with who you are right now, the things that you're trying to accomplish?
And I think that is interesting, because there's so many people that I followed on social media, or so many pages that were funny that I followed on social media, and then I found that their content then became over sexualized because they figured that was what was working for them. Like, there were pages that were funny memes that were relatable to Black culture, hip hop culture in America. And they started saying really wild things about just not, for example, with like COVID, or for example, saying like things that I felt like were misogynistic. And I didn't know when that changed. And so it's really interesting, because there was a 61 million person experiment on Facebook, which showed an ad of how their friends interacted in their behaviors when it came to voting. And that experiment drove 300,000 voters across the US to the polls. And that was November of 2010. With shifts constantly happening, right? Because we live in a time where it's like an unprecedented time where we're like, everything is new when it comes to technology. What are your thoughts on how there's like a, with it always shifting, there's a lack of regulation, and responsibility? Because, like, for instance, with COVID, there was a lot of misinformation that was being spread. In general, there is misinformation spread on social media, but also social media is where we have our freedom of speech. freedom of speech doesn't mean that you don't have to suffer the consequences of what it was that you said.
Yes.
Because if you say some wild stuff to me, I might just box you in your mouth. If you say something wild, you might end up getting indicted and going to jail. Some rappers have faced those consequences with racketeering charges and so on and so forth. So what are your thoughts on like regulating, because people talk about regulating their First Amendment right and being upset when it comes to social media.
Like, no, it's like you said, it's like, it's not about, you know, regulating your speech. Is that what you say can have real material consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see. I think absolutely we need policy around this. We don't have enough policy in general because we're moving so fast. Technology is moving so fast, but yet there hasn't consistently been laws to regulate whether it's global markets or social media and AI and everything. It's moving too fast. So that's why it seems so radical to talk about regulating social media and say if you're spreading false information. I think when I think of that, one of what really sticks out to me in my memory is, I don't know if you remember that mass shooting where was at Ariana Grande's concert.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the shooting, people were fleeing, and now you have parents who have their kids are at this concert. And I think it was in Montreal. I don't know. I'd have to look up where this mass shooting was. But there were false reports that some kids were going into the neighborhoods and they were seeking asylum, or they were going into the hospitals, and that the hospitals were being shut up. So imagine that you're a parent, your kid is at this concert, and they just escaped a mass shooting, or they're possibly a victim of a mass shooting, and to hear that the place that they're going to go to for safety is even, it's not safe there either. Like, that's sick. Like, why release, you know, reports and stuff like that? Or we see how social media has been used, and it was great with the Palestine and Israeli conflict with the 2022 Gaza Strip bombings.
Yeah.
Where people really came together, and even us here during the George Floyd protests, that people in Palestine were giving us tips on how to safely protest, how to stop police brutality or protect yourself pepper spray. They were giving all these tips, which was a great way that we've seen unity globally.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there was also reports and stuff being spread that was inciting the conflict between Israel and Palestine, where the Israel government was releasing they had their own narrative, which just was false, that there was like that bombings that were done to Israel, and they blamed it on the people in Gaza and Palestine, but that just wasn't happening. So it was used, social media was used as warfare.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is going to go down in history as one of the first presidents to really bring he is the first president to really fire somebody on social media to talk about how he's going to or threaten to commit a war crime on social media, talking about just different things and giving way too much information, which is kind of makes it for me at least, he was a laughing stock, but also it was like, this is not good, this is not healthy, this is not what we want, because you're quite literally behaving like some 14-year-old kid in Chicago talk about who he gonna blast up on Twitter. This is not the behavior of a president, sir. So I just think that it's really interesting, because I do feel like some of our politicians really need to get booted out because they just don't understand the way that the modern world works. And I don't even mean it to be, I don't even think it's an ageism thing at this point. I don't even think it has really anything to do with their age as much as it has to do with them not wanting to see that life has shifted and them not understanding that it's time to pass batons to people that do understand they're not even with algorithms, not even with social media, but there's real change happening that they're probably not even going to see. And so we need to, the younger generation, or at least someone that understands how these things work, needs to have a little bit more influence when it comes to public policy. Because even Elon Musk and I think 1,000 other people, 1,000 other like tech companies had signed a petition saying that they wanted ChatGPT, the AI generator, to slow down or to be put on pause because we don't even know how it works. There's a lot of people don't understand that, and people don't also don't want to admit that we still live in a world where there's conscious and unconscious bias. So skewed information, or if we're talking about an algorithm, they learn by data. So skewed data means skewed results, means that you're going to have facial recognition that doesn't work for Black women because everybody in the office was white. You're going to have Amazon most recently had, I think in 2018, had a algorithm that was sexist and had thrown out all of the applications that had anything to do with women. So if it had the word women in it, then they threw it out. And then even an Apple credit card found that it was sexist. And upon its release, one of their CEOs found that it was problematic because it wasn't accurately providing the amount of credit to everyone. His wife got a significantly lower credit than him, despite the fact that they've shared their accounts for years. So it's just, I guess, us not really knowing how it works, and especially the older generation not really knowing how it works, and them being primarily in office when it comes to how we regulate. Have you ever watched the Netflix documentary called Coded Bias?
No, I haven't.
Love it so much because it's actually a Black woman who is I forget her name, but she's the one that brought all of this information about showing that facial recognition for Black and brown people wasn't as accurate as it was for specifically white men and then white women and so on and so forth, fairer people. But in regards to that, have you seen or experienced the negative effects of things that get posted? I mean, obviously we can say the 2016, or we could say January 6th insurrection, but are there any other examples of something recent that you're like, we really need to fix this because I don't like it?
I mean, it's every day, really. You know, that I see something on social media that where it's really just cringy, you know. I think it's specifically like Black tropes and narratives. Oh, like
strong Black hat.
Yeah, or you know, the Jezebel, like the temptress, or you know, seeing all these like stereotypes that are kind of heightened on
the manosphere.
Yes, like, and then you also have, because, and this is what I strongly believe, that not everybody should have a platform. And as we've seen with Trump, like, was that a platform that he should have really been on? Because nowadays everybody has social, their own social equity. So everybody's able to speak on anything. It doesn't matter you don't need to have any sort of qualifications, which is sort of, this is a new thing. You know, you couldn't just get up on a podium and speak to, I don't know,
a crowd of people about how to be a better mom, and yet that's what's happening.
Yeah, and you're not a mom. It's like, how could you speak on something that you can't? I guess, like, we all have experiences and opinions. So when it comes to social media and everybody having a platform, you see like a lot of like that culture vulture, and like other people getting access to cultures that they would never would have had access before. So even though So it's like you have access to information that you never had before, but then also there's not the training of, you know, how of knowing what to do with it. There's a difference between taking a Black Studies class and being on Black Twitter or Black TikTok, and then you think you could walk around and say and do whatever it is you're consuming on social
Everybody's
media.
Everybody's a specialist in something now.
Exactly. And it's like, no, I don't. Yeah, like not everybody should have a platform, like, and that sort of like integrity and accountability is not there. So I feel like that's why we see a lot of these things, because there's nothing to answer to. Like, you might get canceled, like, which I don't necessarily agree with, but at least there's a little bit of accountability there.
And then how many times has someone been canceled and still been relevant in some form of a way? And specifically in Black culture, how many times can we say that Kevin Samuels, may he rest in peace, has been canceled? And Lord knows that if you heard my eye roll, Lord, may he rest in peace. Anyways, or whoever, how many times that Tate guy or has been imprisoned or and so on and so forth. So I just think that it is really interesting. But like these problems that we have is heightened, but it's not new. Like there were the cleaning the Tar Baby cleaning ads on the newspaper that said, oh, that child is Black and they just need this particular soap and that's gonna clean them off. I loved America's Next Top Model, but Lord knows I wanted to be as thin as a pole because of the standards of beauty that was placed on those girls and a lot of unhealthy like tips that they were giving for them to remain that thin and so on and so forth. But what examples of bad marketing today that you actively try to go against? Because it is about the information that's being spread, that's one thing, but as far as marketing and working with people, how do you try to actively, what does being an anti-racist look like on social media? What does your social justice storytelling look like on social media?
I think just maintaining, like, we have a responsibility. So there's all these multinational corporations and they're feeding us things, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept it. Everything is oversaturated. So say, for example, with Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate does give some game. There are things that he says that I'm like, okay, I see that. Like, but there are other things that he says that are outlandish and they promote negative stereotypes. And so for me at that point, I don't believe we have to, when we're consuming media, we're listening to things, we don't have to reject everything that we hear. We can take bits and pieces, you know, just because you hear something that you don't like or isn't, you don't have to completely reject the message. But I think in some scenarios, you should completely reject the message, because Andrew Tate is not the only one who has a podcast out there, you know? So we can, and that's what comes to as a consumer and like your dollar, or specifically the black dollar, like, where are we putting our money? Where are we putting our support? Because brands like, say, bad marketing example, Balenciaga, they had this sweater and it was practically blackface, you know? It had like a little Sambo, the big red lips, like years of blackface, and you, all this money with marketing and PR, and you didn't think this was a bad idea? Like, so, and even, what was it? I think it was H&M back in 2020, where they had the kid with the little Black boy with the sweater, and it said, coolest monkey in the jungle. Like, it's 2023, like, why are we still doing these things? Obviously, because like you said, like, unconscious bias, all these things still exist. We still live in an oppressive system. But at the same time, there are things that are within our power. So who are we what are the voices that are, whose voices are we uplifting? So with my work on Wise, Well, and Woke, like, I consider myself to be like a trusted source of, okay, you know, I'm going to maintain that integrity and you're going to see that on my blog. And then within your personal practices, it's like, we don't have to, just because you want to, you know, look a certain way and portray an image and wear a designer, these sort of things, you can go buy sneakers somewhere else. You can go buy a purse somewhere else. Like, so the consumer does have power. It's where we place our money and our time and energy.
And that's why I wanted to have this conversation in general when it comes to algorithms, when it comes to what we, because algorithms control supposedly how we act with that data, because it's where the algorithm is defined as being supposed to use historical data to predict or use data to understand. We are also the ones feeding this algorithm. We are the ones paying into these companies to do what it is that they've done. And so if we were all to say, I no longer want to be on TikTok until y'all stop monitoring every single phone that's on my Wi-Fi, because that's a thing. I don't know why people act like it's not a thing, but the moment I hop on Sandra's Wi-Fi, now, even though I don't have TikTok, now TikTok got my information. Why is that fair? No, it's not. So let's ensure that that's not something that happens. Well, how do we do that? We have proven to be a bigger and stronger voice than even our government, because our government has to listen to us. Government's policy actually follows social norms. That's actually what people don't understand. It's what we as the people determined to be quote unquote normal or quote unquote just, and then policy follows what it was that we said. So I wanted to have this conversation because I was hoping that I could possibly understand, how does this algorithm and affirmation and what it is that I tell myself, what it is that we as collective people tell ourselves, because I feel like an affirmation, which is a statement affirming something to be true, right, could be that I am something, but could be that we are all as a collective something, could be what you were to tell your one day child, what I tell my child, what the phone tells me, and it's projecting what we believe to be true, or projecting what it, some advertisement on me. Do you have any thoughts on how, I guess actually let's back up, what are your thoughts on what an affirmation statement is, other than an overused idea of like how we can, you know, get to where it is that we want to go, this tool, but what is your idea of what an affirmation statement or affirmations are?
I think it's something that you believe. So, and in essence, sort of like goals. So it's like the things that you believe at that time. So a lot of my affirmations are goals that I have until I reflect and I realize, you know, what I was trying to manifest is actually my reality. So then I need to, you know, readdress what I'm trying to affirm within myself. So I think it's a set of beliefs that we set forth, and that we are constantly changing as we ever evolve.
And how do you feel it correlates to your work as a storyteller? Like, what is it when you're, because you're centered around a lot of anti-racist or social justice storytelling, what is it that you normally want your audience to feel, I guess would be the appropriate question when it comes to, or what, because really art is going to be projecting. So what do you want to project with your, on your audience or with people that you're normally working with?
Yeah.
If it was an I really, am statement.
I am statement. I am limitless. My genius and my wealth, mentally, physically, experience, mentally, physically, and spiritually, has no bounds. You are true, and you will only seek the truth. And those statements are based on my experiences, right? So I grew up in, like I said, a single parent household. Five of us in the basement was super poor. And also being a Black woman in America, there are limitations that have been set on me because of the circumstances that I was born into. But I want people to know that your circumstances don't dictate your life, and you can constantly, you know, reinvent yourself and get yourself to a place where, you know, you're no longer held by the bounds of what society says is normal or true, and really finding that truth within yourself. So like living your truth, but also speaking it, because it's easy to mask. It's easy to scroll on social media looking for substance. It's easy to just drink or smoke or, you know, medicate instead of really addressing your emotions and your trauma. So on Wise, Well, and Woke, and the work that I do, that I want to project, is to continue to seek the truth within yourself and to live in that day by day. And that piece on my blog is really, I do a lot of reflection on, because this crazy, we're in a crazy time right now. Even, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about the January 6th insurrection. Like, what world, if we were to tell our ancestors that happened in great old, like, what world are we living in that just everything can come to our door? I think about the Disney movie WALL-E, where they're in this futuristic society and people don't walk and they're overweight and they're eating all this. They don't even have to put the burger to their mouth. And now we do have a contraption where you could put this thing around your neck and you don't even have to hold your burger anymore. It's just, all of it is way, way too much. So it takes a lot of deep reflection, and it's the reflection that I do and hopefully inspire others to reflect as well and stay true to themselves.
And if someone listening to this wanted to see more content to get to know you and what it is that that Wise, Well, and Woke produces, where can they find you as well as your blog?
Yes, so my personal handle is at Kayla Catalyst on almost every platform. That's where people can get to know me personally. But if you don't want to see another person on your timeline, it's fine. We also have Wise, Well, N, well, the letter N, on that's the social media handle. And then the blog is wisewellandwoke.com.
And thank you for that. Yeah, I'm really excited to see everything that it is that you continue to create. Really excited to see these France trips that you talk about you taking, and you talking about you going back to Spain. I'm so excited to just continue to watch your journey. Thank you again so much for joining us today and having this conversation. Before we go though, I just want to say, I want to do just a short give back. It's a tradition that I grew into of pouring in to someone, especially someone that gave to me. So I just wanted to say that, Kayla, you are limitless. Actually, I won't even include the word limit. Kayla, you are like air. Kayla, you are ever flowing. Kayla, you are ever unfolding. Kayla, you are just unbound. That's not even a word in your vocabulary. Kayla, you are incredible. You're intelligent. You are enough. You are great. You are creator of your reality, of art, of your life, of life, maybe possibly one day. You are whatever it is that you want to be. That dot, 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 the dots of ellipsis has no limits. You are, you are, you are, and Ashe. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and thank you again so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
It's a wrap. If you like this episode and want to hear more like it, then don't forget to follow the show, Poetry, Post, and Politics, at The Political Poet, everywhere you are social. That's THAPOLITICALPOET, everywhere you are social. The show is also aired on KTQALP 95.3 FM Tacoma, so you can always catch me over there on their airwaves, or you can listen to me wherever you stream your favorite podcast. Until next time, catch you later.